return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Welcome to a service at Holy Life Tabernacle in Brookings, South Dakota. We are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Now let's go into the sanctuary, and here's today's message.
Our God is an awesome God.
God is doing good things. Doing good things. Amen. Well, today we have Kids Rock in the back. We have ages 3 to 1st grade, so kids can go back there and enjoy a message just like we're going to receive here. Amen. So the rest of us, stand with me. Did you bring your Bibles today? Amen. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to switch over to the lapel here. Amen. Our hope for you is that when you leave this place, you aren't the same. Not because of the word that comes from me, but the word that comes from Him. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yep. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. We're going to talk about building your house on the rock.
Amen.
Amen. So let's go real quick, right away, to Matthew 7, 24 through 27. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and it says, great was its fall. Notice it doesn't say just whoever hears the sayings, but overhears and does the sayings. Amen. And so for us, he's talking about his parables, but we have the Holy Word, we have the Bible. Amen.
Yep.
And everything, we have an Old Testament, we have a New Testament,
yep.
And we're living under this new covenant, this New Testament. Amen. And so when it says we want to be doers of the Word, we want to be doers of the new covenant. Amen. Because the Bible says that we have a new covenant. It's a better covenant. It's established on better promises.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, from the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant is the old covenant, or the new covenant has all the blessings and none of the curses.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So he has blessings for you in your life.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. We're not under judgment anymore right now.
Amen.
There will be a day of judgment, but right now we're under grace.
Amen.
The Bible says we're justified, not by our works, but we're justified by grace.
Yeah.
Amen. Through faith, hallelujah.
Yes.
And so we can be excited. We can be excited that we don't have to work to get to heaven. No, he's already paid the price. He's already done the work.
Yep.
We just have to believe.
Yeah.
We just have to believe in him.
Yeah.
Amen. So we want to not just hear what he has to say. You can stand here, you can sit here and hear me and hear what I'm saying. But if you don't go out, and again, everything that I say is through the word.
Yeah.
Amen. It's not my opinions. But you can go out and not do it, and you're still building your house on the sand.
Yep.
So somebody can come to church every single service. They can fellowship. They can say all the right things. But if we're not being doers of the word,
yep,
in our daily life,
yep,
and that's what we want to do here. We want to teach you to win in life.
Yep.
But if we're not being doers of the word in our daily life, we're building our house on sand.
That's right. Right?
Right? And for any builders in here, maybe those who aren't, you know how hard it is to build a house on sand. It's going to fall every single time. Amen. We want to apply the word to our life. Right? So every day, we're wanting to get, the Bible says that we want to kind of reach towards maturity, right? So there's different things we can do. The Bible says if we can keep our tongue, we can bridle our tongue, we're a perfect man, we're mature, right? So there's different things in life that we can continue to do every day to get better, amen, to reach that maturity in Christ, to reach the fullness of Christ. Amen. So we have to be doers of the word. We're not just here to hear the word. We want to go out and practice it. There's a book, a small booklet written many years ago called Practicing the Presence of God. Amen. Always being in His presence. Always just allowing Him to work through you and in your life. So I want to talk today about building on the rock. And I want to talk about what that means for our life. You know, you always hear it, you know, when we build on the rock. And, you know, a lot of times it's referenced on just the Word of God, right? The rock is the Word of God. But there's other things, too, that come with that when we build our house on the rock. Right. Amen. It all revolves around Jesus and the Word, but there's other things that expands out, amen, in our life. And, you know, like it said, we build on the rock, we're being doers of His Word. And why don't we just want to be hearers? Why do we need to be doers? Well, let's go to James 1, verse 23. The Bible says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So when we're not doers of the word, we forget who we are. We forget whose we are. Amen. If we're not being a doer, if we're not going out every day and we're showing love, and we're practicing patience and having peace and joy in our life, we're forgetting our identity. And you know, I was talking about this with somebody the other day. Identity, there's an identity crisis in the world today. People don't know who they are. They don't know whose they are. Right? There's an identity crisis. And people look to all different things for an identity. They might look to sports. They might look to money. They might look to a specific gender for their identity. It's all the same because in every one of those situations, Jesus is the only one that can fill that hole. Jesus is the only one that can show you your identity. Amen. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He loved the whole world. Amen. We can all have an identity in Him. The whole world can have an identity in Jesus. Amen. But so many times, you know, people are looking for an identity. They're like, how am I going to be defined in life? How am I going to be defined with my friends or with this community or in my job? Yeah. The answer is Jesus. Amen? Amen. So if you're struggling with your identity, if you're struggling to figure out why am I here and what is my purpose and who do I live for, just you want to just grab onto the Word. Amen. Grab onto Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen. He is going to show you and He's going to fill that void in your life. Amen. He's going to fill whatever you need, whatever you feel you're lacking in your life. Amen. Amen. We don't want to forget who we are. And when we do, you know what it comes out of? It comes out of pride. We think that we can do it on our own. We think we don't need anybody else. I'm going to figure out who I am by myself. Right? It comes with pride. Just think about, remember when what happened in the garden. Eve heard the word of God. You know. She had heard it, obviously, because she stated what she thought the Lord said back to the serpent. She heard it, but she wasn't a doer of it, right? And because of that, pride built up. Why do you think she wanted to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Because it was pride, right? Wow, I can be up here. I feel like I'm down here right now. I feel like I can actually know things, know who I am. I'm going to have all this knowledge. I'm going to have this peace. Because I know everything. I'm going to have this identity. I'm the woman who knows everything. I'm the man who knows everything for Adam. And she forgot just for a moment. All it takes, the devil just wants a moment. She forgot just for a moment who she was and who God created her to be. Right? She forgot that she, you know, He said, you'll be like God. She forgot that she had this relationship with the Father. Yeah. Pastor Dave said it before. If there's any parents in here and you have kids that have gone astray, just remember God was a perfect parent. His kids went astray. Right? Hang in there. Hang in there.
Yeah.
Amen. But she forgot. She, again, just for a moment, just a little weakness, she forgot who she was. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." It's building your house on the sand. It's thinking, I can do this on my own.
Yeah.
It's saying, I can do this on my own. See, when you become prideful, you start to not trust anybody. Right? When there's pride in your life, you start to think, I can do this by myself. And you start to think everybody else is wrong. So I'm not going to trust what they say. I'm not going to trust the word. I'm not going to trust, that the Lord does supply all my needs. And we get to this self-centeredness, this pride, and we don't trust anybody. We don't even trust Jesus. But as Christians, our complete trust should be in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Who is the rock? Thank you, Lord. You know, there's a lot of references to the rock, to rocks in the Bible. And every one of them is talking about Jesus, our Savior. Amen. These rocks. Amen. The rock. When Moses spoke to the rock. Amen. Whenever he says he puts our feet up on a rock, that rock is Jesus Christ. Amen. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." That means trust him in all your circumstances.
Amen.
I think it's really hard for people to trust today. Really hard for people to let things go and just... We want to be kind of in control of everything in our life. And the fact is, we're not in control of everything in our life, right? We can't control when a storm comes, when the devil brings a storm. We can't control that. But we can control our attitude.
Amen.
We can control who we put our trust into,
right,
knowing that it didn't come from the Lord, but it came from the devil,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We can control those things. We can control whose report we're going to believe when we get a bad report.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. We can control our lives and our financial needs and burdens being put on the Lord. The Bible says, "Cast your cares on Jesus because He cares for you."
Amen.
He cares for you. We don't have to worry because He cares for you. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Trust that when you build on Him, that your house won't fall. And this house that it's talking about is our life, right?
Yep.
This house is our life. So we build our house, our life on the rock. Amen. The storms of life are going to come through, and it's going to maybe shake it a little bit, but it's not going to fall.
Yeah.
When we build our life on the sand, and the sand could be anything. Could be, like I said, our identity. Are we going to identify with how much money we have? Excuse me. Or our status in society? Are we going to identify with our degree? Those are all things that are great, right? We want to have income, we want to have money, finances to further the kingdom of God, but we don't want to put our trust in that. We want to have a good degree, amen. We want to have good social standing, amen. We want to be reputable in the community, but we don't want to put our trust in that.
Right.
That's not our identity, amen. So this house is our life. And I really believe that one of the biggest fears people have is failure, the fear of failure.
That's right.
Right? Failing,
yeah.
Failing school or failing at a job, failing your family or friends. That's a big fear, to fail, right?
Yes.
We don't want to fail in life. It's not fun to fail,
right?
But we also need to understand that failure is a part of life. You're going to fail in some things. I'm a big basketball fan. I remember Michael Jordan had a commercial quote. He said he's missed 23 game-winning shots in his career. He's failed over and over again in his life, and that's why he succeeds. And, the Bible says a righteous man may fall down 7 times but continues to get up, right? So there's going to be times where in your life you feel like, oh, man. I mean, again, parents can relate. How many times have you felt like an awful parent? Right?
Yeah.
But we just keep saying, no, Lord, I'm going to trust in you.
Amen.
Though I might fall 7 times, I'm going to get up again.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let the devil get me down. I'm not going to let the storms of this life get me down.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
when we put our trust in Jesus. So storms are going to come, right? But when we put our trust in Jesus, our life won't be carried away by the storm. An illustration I've used before is, you know, if you've ever been swimming in the ocean, especially like the Pacific Ocean where the big waves come, and you feel pretty secure, you're right by the shore. But if you start getting distracted and you're just kind of, you know, playing or whatever you're doing, pretty soon you're getting further and farther away from the shore, right? The distractions. And that can really be summed up by, spiritually, the distractions of life, right? When we get distracted by other things, you know, the shore is the Word, and there's safety in the Word. The more we get distracted by these other things, the farther and farther we get away from the Bible, the more we don't know where we're at, right? We'll be able to stay built up. We'll be able to keep our life built if we build it on the rock. Amen? Another reason why we want to build on the rock is because it's stable. Sand shifts, doesn't it? There's stability in the Word of God. Amen. It's so, you know, I did speech classes in high school and in college and different things. And they're okay. I like them. But I had to give my opinion on all these speeches. You know, one thing I love about preaching the Word of God is I don't have to give my opinion on what the Bible says, right? We just read the Word, and the Word carries us. The Word can carry a message. So even when you're witnessing, if you're public speaking, or if you're witnessing to a friend or a family member, or just to a random person, just remember the Word's going to carry you. Amen. You don't have to give your opinion. When tough questions come to you about gender, about money, right? About why do you think Christianity is the only way? You don't have to give your opinion. No, you just have to tell them what the Bible says, right? The Bible says we want to speak the truth in love, right? So just tell the truth. Tell what the Bible says, amen? And consequently, that's why we want to be in our Bible. That's why we want to study the Word, amen? It's important. Let's go to Ephesians 4:14. It says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Again, according to Matthew 7, it says tossed to and fro. We're going to be tossed by the wind. There's going to be wind that beats against our life, right? We don't want to be tossed, though, carried about with every wind of doctrine. So the sand is anything other than the Word. Right? Any doctrine that would exalt itself against the Word of God. Right? It could look good. It could sound good. It could make you feel good. You think. Right? But if it's not the Bible, then it's not the doctrine that you want to build your house on. Amen. You can listen to books and you can hear messages and different things, and those are all good. But they should all be supplementary to the Word. They should all be supplementary to the Word of God. Amen? This is our source. Even me right now, if you hear something and you're not sure about it, I encourage you to go to the Bible. Go to the Bible. And then come to me. Go to the Bible first, though. Amen? Because that's for pastors all over the world, that's what we want for our congregations. We want you to grow. Amen. We're growing ourselves. I mean, I'm continuing to grow. There's things that I preach now that I probably wouldn't have preached 5 years ago. There's things I preached 5 years ago that I definitely wouldn't preach now. Amen. Why? Because we continue to get revelation. We continue to grow. We continue to, we're carried from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Amen. You can, like I said, read books, listen to preachers. They're all supplementary to the Word. As soon as we take our foot off the rock, we're going to start sinking in the sand. Sinking in the sand of false doctrines and wrong thinking. Right? And we don't want to do that. Have you ever tried to run on really soft sand? You know, where it's just, with every step, feels like you're just trudging through the sand because it's that soft. It's hard, isn't it? It's frustrating. If you've ever done it, it's just, you know, running on like hard ground is, dare I say, easy. not easy, like, as far as stamina and different things, but it's easy to run on hard ground. It's hard to run on sandy ground, on sand, right? When you leave the simplicity of the gospel, the other doctrines that don't line up with the Bible, they're going to make you paranoid, they're going to make you fearful, and they're going to make you frustrated, right? Paranoid, fearful, and frustrated. So again, state of the Bible, state of the doctrine, because, you know, I've heard people say, well, this isn't for today, or you can't believe every, you know, Pastor, you've had an encounter, you can't believe everything in this book. Well, no, that's not what it says, right? We can, we have the Bible for correction, for reproof, for doctrine, amen, for exhortation, hallelujah, to know who we are. It's like on, it's like, you know, false doctrines you know, other doctrines that don't line up with the Bible. It's kind of like on Facebook, you know, when you read a story, and so people comment, you look at the comments, like, oh, that was really cool. You look to the comments, and you have all these comments about how great of a story it was, how great of a memory or whatever. But then you have that one person who goes against the grain, that one person who says, who discredits the story, or who says something that doesn't line up with the rest of the thinking right there. People, if you've been familiar with this term, they're called trolls. They say, you're trolling us, right? Man, that was good. I felt actually confident saying that. Mason would know. Trolls, right? that just means they're there to cause division. They're there to cause frustration, right? There's a commercial that I saw, and this guy it was this guy that was like his whole job was to troll on the internet, and so he'd find things and he'd say something the exact opposite of what it was, you know. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to cause division in your life. Amen. He wants to divide believers because he knows that believers in unity isn't good for the kingdom of darkness. He doesn't want you to be in unity with your fellow believer. He doesn't want this church to be in unity with that church and this congregation, these people over here to be in unity with other believers over here. Ephesians 4:13 says, it says, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The unity of faith. This unity. Remember in the upper room, it says they were all in one accord. They were all in unity. They all had one mind of what they were doing there. And we can do that. Amen? We can do that now. When saints come to the unity of faith, we operate together. We see it at the end of verse 13 there. To the measure, the stature of the fullness of Christ. Not 50%. Not 75%. I don't like when my car just runs 75% of the time. I don't like when it's working, only 75% of my car is working. I want 100% of my car working. Amen? The body of Christ should be this well-oiled machine that can build each other up, that can talk about things of the faith. Amen? And talk about Jesus in non-combative ways. Amen? All with the one, again, the rock, the foundation that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and rose from the grave. Amen. I tell you what, you're gonna have disagreements with other believers, but if you agree on that one thing, you're doing pretty good. Amen. Other things in the Bible, yeah, they might be in the Bible. You know, there's different beliefs on, you know, speaking in tongues. And I wholeheartedly believe that tongues is for today. Amen. Speaking in tongues, we do that here at the church. But maybe somebody doesn't. That's okay. Do they believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do they believe that Jesus is Lord? Amen. Well, that's some common ground. Amen. That's the rock you can build even that relationship on, that foundation. What did Jesus say when he asked, who do you say that I am? And he said, you're the Christ, the Son of God. What did he say? On this rock, on this foundation, on this revelation, I will build my church. Body of Christ, amen? Build the body of Christ on this one principle. That Jesus Christ is the Lord. Amen, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Standing on the rock means you're standing on Jesus and everything Jesus is. Everything Jesus is. The Bible says he's the chief cornerstone, the firm foundation. So what do you get? You know, you get the fruits of the Spirit. You're standing, when you're standing on the rock, you're standing on peace. You're standing on joy. Amen. You're standing on self-control, patience, all those things. Along with that, you're standing on Jesus. And the name of Jesus provides safety, the Bible says. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. So this, the name of the Lord is like a strong tower. And, you know, it's likened to that. It's likened to the rock, right?
Yes.
It said, the Bible says it's above every other name, the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
The Bible says, call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's safety. There's safety in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And you're safe on all levels. Amen. If you think of a literal rock, if you think you have sand and you have the rock that's above it, and the waves are coming in, just think you're safe physically. You're safe emotionally and mentally. You're not worried about being overtaken, right? When you stand on the rock, Jesus Christ, you're all those things, but you're also safe spiritually.
Yep.
Amen? And with the message you're witnessing with. You're safe in what you say.
Yeah.
Right? In a culture of cancel culture that we're in today, I'm not going to say that people are always going to agree with you or like what you say, but as long as you say what the Word says, you're safe. There's safety in what saying what the Bible says. Amen? And the devil wants to get you out of that zone of agreeing with the Word and giving your own opinions. Amen? And you see it. You see people who can be very opinionated about spiritual things and very opinionated about where the country's at or where the world's at today. Be very opinionated about different things going on in the body of Christ. You know, a lot of the prophecies that are mentioned today, they've already been prophesied in the Word, right? So we don't have to debate whether we're living in the last days. No, the Bible says we are living in the last days. Amen. We don't have to debate that there's wars coming. No, the Bible says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Amen. So we don't have to debate those things. We just have to stand on the Word.
Amen.
We just have to believe what the Bible says. Amen?
Yeah.
So then when somebody tries to argue with you about what's going on, you can say, yeah, the Bible says there's wars and rumors of wars.
Yeah.
I mean, that stops arguments really quickly. Because,
yeah.
Like, you're agreeing with them, even if maybe you're not agreeing with what they're saying about the things going on.
Right.
Right? No, you're agreeing with them because, yeah, I agree. That's what the Word says.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. It's easy to debate me on my opinions, and you'll probably win if I'm just giving my opinions. I'm not the greatest debater, right? But it's hard and impossible for someone to win a debate against the Word.
Amen.
Against the Word of God. And that's why we want to know it. Ephesians 4:13 also said that being mature isn't just coming to the unity of faith, but also coming to the knowledge of the Son of God.
Yeah.
Right? So when we come to the knowledge of the Son of God, as we read the Bible and as we get revelation of things, so the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, who's within us, if we're a believer, amen, searches the deep things of God,
right.
Gives revelation and knowledge for us to use in our life,
yep.
Amen.
Amen.
So having this knowledge of the Son of God, amen, is another way to unify believers, right? Because if we have the knowledge of the Son of God, of the Word of God, then there's not going to be those debates. There's not going to be those tensions, right? Just believing in the Word.
Amen.
Along with sound doctrine, along with all these things, safety, you're standing on the grace of God. Amen. Jesus, he's the Prince of Peace. He brought grace to us. Amen. This new covenant is a covenant of grace. So this rock that we're standing on is the grace of God. Going back to the running analogy, running on rock or cement is easy, and running on sand is work. It's hard work to run on sand. When grace came, the Bible says we've been justified by grace through faith, right? When grace came, all the work that was done was put on Jesus. Now, I heard somebody say, I think it might have been Joseph Prince, but I heard somebody say that... God can't punish you for the sin that Jesus took. God can't punish you for the sins that you commit that Jesus already took. Well, how many sins did Jesus take? All of them, didn't he? So we're not in an age where God is punishing us or teaching us lessons through destruction or anything like that. No, the Bible says he prunes us through his word. As we read his word, there's conviction that comes. Amen? The Bible says by the scriptures that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, that we cast all of our cares on him. So we're standing on this grace of Jesus Christ. We're not standing on our works, right?
Amen.
One thing that Sydney said on Wednesday night, this last Wednesday, was he was talking about just sacrifices and what they did in the Old Testament for sacrifices and the priests. But he said that the priests sprinkled the blood of the bulls and the goats on the mercy seat. And they're asking the Lord, have mercy on us. You know, they sprinkled the blood, the sacrifice. And he said, have mercy on us.
Yeah.
And one thing I thought about when he said that, you know, in the Old Covenant, they went meekly to the mercy seat. But in the New Covenant, we're told to go boldly to the throne of grace.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Boldly to the throne of grace. Yeah. Amen. And it says that he's going to help us in any time of need that we have. Right?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
We're not going to say, Lord, have mercy on me anymore. No, we're saying, Lord, thank you for your grace.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. We're not asking the question anymore. We're just thanking him. We're just praising him for his grace. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when you stand on the rock, you're in a position of strength.
That's right.
And not of weakness. Amen. The rocks are above the sand. So we have the high ground. I don't know if any of you Star Wars followers here. Okay, I got a couple. When Obi-Wan's on top of the hill and Anakin, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be telling the story. And Anakin's on below him and he says, Anakin, don't do it. I have the high ground. What was he saying? He had a position of strength, right? When we stand on the rock, we stand above the sand, we have this position of strength in our life, right? We have this position of boldness and authority. You know, Jesus, he came and he preached. You know, there were things that he preached that the scribes and the Pharisees would have also preached probably. But what did they say? He said, man, who is this guy? He came with an authority and a boldness. Unlike we've seen with any of the Pharisees, with any of the scribes, with any of the lawyers, right? He said, no, he came with someone who really believes he has authority.
Amen.
In our life, we have authority given to us by Jesus Christ.
Right.
We have this boldness, this authority.
Right.
Amen.
Yep.
Not only do we have the authority, but we have the power.
Yep.
We have the power to do it.
Amen.
Amen. And God's given us the authority.
Yes.
You can have power, but no authority.
That's right.
Amen. You can have authority, but no power. But God gave us both. Gave us this power of the Holy Spirit to live by the Holy Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. But he gave us the authority as well, the authority to use the power granted to us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The devil can't defeat us when we stand on the rock. Okay? The devil's down here. The Bible says he's under our feet. If we're up here on the rock, there's no way he can defeat us when we stand on the rock. Yeah, there's going to be things that come, okay? But he can't defeat you. The song we just sang, I'm pressed but not crushed.
Yep.
Persecuted, not abandoned. I'm struck down, but I'm not destroyed.
Yes.
Though a righteous man may fall 7 times, he's going to continue to get up.
Yep.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Let's go to just a couple more scriptures here. Psalm 62:2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Again, when we speak the word of truth, we don't have to defend ourselves.
Right.
Says that he is my defense.
Yeah.
He is my shield. He is my portion. He is my deliverer. Amen. The word does that for us. I'm not defending my opinion. I'm speaking the word of God, and the word of God defends me.
Amen.
Defends my life. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit convict and set your standards on the Word of God. you don't have to have a take on something going on in the world just because it's something that you want to do. No, we have a take of what's going on in the world because of the Word.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So we want to be loving. We don't want to be judgmental, but we also want to have standards, right? We have standards as Christians based on the Word of God.
Amen.
Right? And we don't want to apologize for those standards. Amen. Again, speaking the truth in love. We're not going to apologize for having standards of what the Word says.
Right.
Amen. I love everybody. I'm going to love anybody that I meet. But I'm not going to bring my standards down here just because that's how society tells me that they should.
Right.
Or that because somebody says, well, you're not right here. If somebody perceives that I'm being judgmental, no, I just have standards.
Yep.
I'm not being judgmental. Jesus loves everybody. I love everybody.
Yep.
I want to see people saved. So I'm going to have standards that are right along the same lines as the Word of God.
Yeah.
So you don't have to apologize for it. Somebody disagrees with you that's in the world that, you know, whatever the case is, whatever issue it is, you can love them and you can speak softly and kindly to them, but we still have standards. Amen. We still want to continue to live to the standard of the Word.
Yep.
Amen. Pastor Dave has a great standards message as well. I love it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's all we have to do, though.
Yep.
Let the Holy Spirit convict and set your standards to the Word.
Yes,
if someone asks why we don't cuss or why we don't drink or why we don't do this or that, we don't have to give them a reason other than, well, I love Jesus. I just want to follow His Word.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's all you have to say. If you're not sure what to say, just say, I just love Jesus. I just want to follow what His Word says.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right. Yes,
that's all you have to say. You don't have to answer to anybody but the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's easy, you know, if you get confronted with something to try to be, oh man, what do I need to say in this time?
Yeah.
I don't want to be offensive, but I don't want to give up. No, I just love Jesus.
Yeah.
You can. That's a simple answer. No,
yeah.
I love Jesus. Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Cool.
Takes the thinking out of it.
I mean,
the Bible says that even when you go before men, that the Holy Spirit, don't worry about what you're going to have to say because the Holy Spirit's going to give you the words. He's going to give you the things to say in those situations. The last thing I want to talk about this morning is when we stand on the rock, we can see things more clearly. This is the last point I want to make. So just think, when if you're down low, it's hard to see above anything, right? But if, you know, for those of you who are shorter here, you know it's harder to see than if somebody who is taller. My brother's 6'6". It's easier for him to see over people than it is for me at 6 foot. 5'11 and a half. Sorry, Lord. Man, I wanted it so bad to be 6 foot, but I didn't get there. With shoes. But it's just easier to see when you're up higher, amen? It's kind of like being on a plane. If you've ever rode on a plane, flew on a plane, and you're at the airport and everything's cloudy, you know, you just see clouds, there's no sunshine coming through at all, and you might think, where's the sun? Well, as soon as you get in that plane and you go above the clouds, you can see the sun, you can see the clear air, and you know, oh, there's the sun. Standing on the rock, amen, we're going to be able to see clearly up and ahead of us, right?
Yeah.
We don't have to doubt. Excuse me. When we're on the sand, it's easy to doubt that God is working in your life.
Yeah.
It's easy to doubt because all you see is the bad stuff on life, right? You're trying to fill your life with these other things.
Yeah.
And so you might not see, we don't see the big picture of everything, right? But in our life, we have a big picture view of just our life.
Yeah.
You know, and when we're down in the sand and we're down and we're trying to do things on our own, it's easy to just look at our circumstances and our failures as these really horrible things and say, like, why are you even here?
Yeah.
But when we stand on the rock, we get some elevation.
Amen.
Amen. We'll be able to see things more clearly to say, ah, Lord, I may not be able to see it clearly. But I know your word. What your word says. I know your word says I'm good, or you're good. I know your word says I'm healed. Amen. That I'm set free. So I'm just going to believe your word.
Amen.
I'm going to choose to see things clearly. Amen?
Yeah, that's right.
Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path."
Yes, it is.
If you're traveling in darkness, you don't have a light, you don't have a flashlight or anything, you can't see any steps ahead of you. When you have a lamp or a light, you can at least see a few steps ahead of you. He's not going to show you your whole path right away. No, but he'll show you things. Like, you know, if you're in darkness, you're in a forest or something, and you have a light and you're looking down, you can see, oh, there's a tree root. I need to step over that, right? Oh, the trail goes right and goes that way. I mean, he's going to give you the information that you need to deal with the things that are going on in your life at that point, in that moment. You're not going to be able to see everything in front of you, but you're going to see well enough to know that you're going in the right direction. Amen? You're going to be able to see well enough to know, my destination I know is over there, so I'm just going to keep going that way. Amen? Last verse here, Psalm 40, verse 1 and 2. It says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps." Established. He set them to motion. Amen. He secured them. The Hebrew word for established means to set up. He took us from a position of being powerless and raised us up to secure our feet on the rock. He took us from a position where we didn't have any say of what happened to a position of power, to a position of authority. Amen. And so today, I just encourage you, just today and just as you go forward in life, just remember that, one, God is for you. He's not against you. He gave you the word to help you. Amen. He's not bringing the storms in your life and then curing the storms of your life. No, he's just helping you during the storms of your life. Amen. He has good plans for you. And again, when we put our feet on the rock, on the Word of God, on the revelation that Jesus is Lord, then we're able to see clearly the plans that He has for you, for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Did you get something out of this today?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap off. He is so good. He is so good. Amen. Will you can stand with me this morning. We're just going to pray and then I'll let you go here. But Father, we just give you praise and honor and glory. We thank you that you've set our feet upon the rock, that you've established our steps, Jesus. We thank you that you're for us and you're not against us, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Hallelujah. We thank you that we're more than conquerors. Thank you, Lord. We just give you praise and glory and honor today, Lord. I just pray a blessing on all those who are here for their families, Lord. I thank you for the graduates again. The high school graduates that are coming up here in 3 weeks, 2 weeks, something like that, Lord. And we just want to give you all the praise and the glory for today. For this is the day that you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it all the time. And so we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, somebody say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, as you go, be blessed today. Nice to see you. And you are dismissed.
Thank you for listening to this inspirational message. We trust that you were encouraged in your faith. For additional information or resources, please contact the church at 605-692-4616. You can email us at holylife@brookings.net. or visit our website at holylifetabernacle.com. If you're in the Brookings area, please stop by to visit a service. We are located at 241 Mustang Pass, just off Main Avenue South. Our service times are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., also Wednesday nights at 7. God bless you.